Hi, Grace.
Hi, Eric.
Grace, you wouldn't believe what happened today.
I wouldn't believe it. You're right.
I got nominated for the sexiest man alive.
I don't believe you.
That's true. That's the best I can come up with for April Fools. Do you have something hidden in this show that you're going to get me on? Or do we not play that?
Maybe. You'll have to listen and find out.
Happy April.
Happy April. It's April already. I hope people are getting through their running mullet bingo cards. Yeah. Are you getting through yours?
I'm not, but every time I see Chris Young post something about it, I'm like, oh yeah, there's a running mullet bingo thing that we're supposed to be doing. So I have to look at it again. Maybe I'm already bingoed out. I don't know, but I should see what I've done.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. I've been doing pretty well on mine. There's some of the things on, and I'll have to bump it up in our Facebook group. And I think I posted it on the Instagram, but if I didn't, I'll post it again. So on running mullet bingo, there's crew somebody, pace somebody, do some trail work. Do a night run, tune in to a live show. I just did one yesterday, which is a new buddy run. And that's when you run with somebody who you've never run with before. And I did that. I ran with Gina Ruck and we went up to Leg Destroyer and it was super fun.
That's awesome. Is there a block on there about letting Eric do the intro to the show?
You know what? There is not. 0 points for you. Let's actually, let's do that right now.
Right now. Episode 57, Grace. Welcome to 57. There are a lot of myths about running from way back when. Let's try to debunk a few of them on episode 57.
Awesome.
I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
Oh, man. Let me tell you how over the word seven I am. So, because seven doesn't rhyme with things, Grace. You don't understand.
It doesn't, no.
It ruins me. And I only have so many options, and I've had to do that. We're 57, so I've had to do this five times.
Yeah.
It makes me look bad. I'm tired of it embarrassing me.
Yeah, it is embarrassing. We should just stop. We should just stop here.
Okay. Yeah, it was a good run.
It was good.
How?
That's your April Fools, because we're continuing. It's going to keep going.
It might not be an April Fool's for some people. It might be like, oh man, they're going to keep going. Like they might have been happy. I don't know. Ooh, how's the Grace doing?
I'm doing good. I'm, had a lot of fun over the long weekend. I had, Friday was a holiday at my work. So I had Friday, Saturday, Sunday to have lots of fun and got to hang out with Marisa. I went, and that was a new buddy run too, because I've never run with her before. So I did two new buddy runs.
Yeah, I saw that. I was totes jelly about that.
It was glorious. It was magical. There was glitter came out of the trees. That's how magical it was.
That woman gets around. I mean that in the best way possible, but man, she gets around.
Yeah, you just got to reach out. That's what I did. I thought to myself, I really want to run with Marisa. I've never run with her before. And so I messaged her and she said, yes.
Wow, that's all it takes.
That's all I had to do.
I had her first, so I'm happy with that. I'll reach out again at some point to get. I almost killed her once. It was fun though. I mean, it was a pretty cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, I believe you. How was your weekend?
Oh, my weekend was good. I didn't have any of those vacation or holidays you're talking about because we work through them so that we can take them off between Christmas and New Year's. Don't talk to me about it. It's just dumb. Becky and the girls had off Friday and Monday, and I had to go to work like a dummy.
Yeah, working is stupid. We should all just quit our jobs.
Don't you don't, and that's talking me into it too much.
Yeah, and I think I don't know about you, but this makes me think of the first running myth, which is all you need are a pair of shoes and it doesn't cost anything. Because
Oh yeah, that's a great one. Yeah. No, it's
I'm
very
telling you
it's
what.
like the cheapest sport out there, right?
Yeah, cheapest sport out there. No, false. I mean, it could be just a pair of shoes, I suppose.
Yeah, but I'm looking at a closet right now. This smelly closet of mine is worth like thousands of dollars.
Right.
Like most people grab their cat and dog if like there's a fire or something
Yeah.
and get the stuff out of the safe. Like I'm heading to my closet.
Right.
Not
Grab
to
all the
stay there.
shoes.
That's not safe. I wouldn't hide in there, but you know what I
No.
mean? To grab the most expensive shoes and
Yeah.
shorts, because
Yeah.
rabbit
Don't
shorts.
stay in the closet. Come out of the closet, Eric. It's
Yeah.
fine. And bring all of your shoes with you.
Okay. And clothing. Yeah, that's a great point. Running, all you need is shoes, and then you just run. You don't need any equipment.
Yeah, running myth number one, all of my most expensive clothing is running related.
Hey, here's a good one though. One of the most important pieces of clothing that you should be concerned about, and I researched this for this week, is sports bras because your boobs can get saggy from running. That's not a myth. So you
I
have to
don't
wear
believe that.
you
I
have to
do believe that.
if you didn't wear support, it could happen from running. Yes. Look it up.
We're gonna have to
I don't
fact check that one.
know, it might be false, but it was on the internets, interwebs.
Yeah, I'm betting that one's false.
No, you gotta have this.
So
Yeah, you gotta. Anyway, so yeah, save them in a
test it
fire.
out for me. Let me know how it goes.
Okay, and figure eights too. But we can get
That's
that.
right. Can't forget the figure eight.
Yeah. What else?
All
What
right.
other? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about today is the can I say the S word? Can I say the S word?
The sugar show. I mean,
Yeah, the
I think.
sugar show.
Yeah, the way we titled it. I think a lot of people might have thought we were talking about poo per
Yeah.
se, and we're
Yeah.
not. We're talking about the BS that has in the past been put on running as false claims, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're
So.
talking about all the false stuff when you are around your family or other people who are non-runners and you say that you're a runner and then all of the stuff that they hear about on the interwebs, all of the myths out there, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I'm looking at your face right now. I can tell how bad you want to say that word. So here's what I'm going to do. For
Yeah.
anybody that doesn't want to hear a bad word, close your ears for the next 3 seconds. Grace,
Close your ears.
say it. Say it.
We're talking about the shit show. It is the
Yes.
shit show.
Okay, back. Their ears are open. We got it in.
Okay, got it.
Whew, that was perfect. Man, we know what we're doing. We're professionals. That's how you do it. That's how you
That's right.
you put ratings on things. So now we're not
I
rated R.
appreciate it. I appreciate it. And it was good teamwork as well.
Yeah. So yeah, the idea was to talk about a lot of these, a lot of the ones I was looking at again to refresh my memory, or I think a lot of us that are watching, we always say we can't assume people that know things, but a lot of them are by now pretty much common sense things that a lot of the runners already know. I think you found a couple good ones. You might even be able, I might, you might even have a couple that I don't know are false or true. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like the making your boobs saggy.
I don't buy
You got your homework cut out for
All right, I will report back. I will have a PowerPoint presentation ready for you. So, on your list, this is the sugar show. What kind of sugar did you find it out there? What myths did you find out there? What's your first one?
I'll go with one of the most common ones that it's bad for your heart.
Mm.
And I've heard this before when I was, I think, younger, long before I ran, and it kind of made sense to my young little virgin brain was that, it's the basically the faster your heart pumps, or the more it pumps, the less, or you only have so many heartbeats in your lifetime. So when we're running and we're beating at 150 a minute, we're just, our life expectancy is just going downhill at the end, right? I mean, that's kind of would make sense if that were the case.
Yeah.
But I think we know that's not the case.
Not the case at all. Running is very good for your heart. And in fact, many runners who run a long time, not necessarily a long time, but very consistently, tend to have lower resting heart rates.
Yeah. It's proven to be to improve your cardiovascular health.
Correct. And heart disease is the number one cause of death for adults, at least adult females. I don't know about adult men, but I think it's accurate for men and women.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's been that way for quite a while.
Yeah, heart disease does not get nearly as much attention as things like breast cancer. And, you know, that's also a very serious thing. But heart disease is the number one killer. Yep. All right. My turn.
Give me a good one.
Okay. Here's a good one that you have to run the whole time, right? No stopping.
You're not 100%. A runner. Yeah. You're not a runner unless you can run the whole time.
Yeah, if you run a 5K or a 100-miler, 100% of those steps have to be running steps.
Yeah.
And I hear this from some runners, too. Who is, there's this author. Oh, man, it's going to drive me nuts, his name. I'm going to think of it. But
stay with us, Grace.
Thank you. I was looking at my books over in the corner.
My library.
And it's not there. And he's this great author. He writes about running. The book was What I Think About When I Think About Running. Mm. And he had said that he was doing a 50-miler. And
you're Googling it.
I am Googling it. It's going to be fine. So it's Haruki Murakami. He wrote this great book. I love the book, except for one thing. And that's he signed up, I think it was JFK 50-miler, but it was a 50-miler nonetheless. And he, in his brain, he had said it's not really a 50-mile finish unless he was running the entire time. And so it was the one thing that I didn't like about this book was like, you're still a runner. And this is a guy who mostly primarily did road running and primarily either marathon distance or sub marathon distance. So not a lot of experience in the ultra running world, where we know that walking is completely acceptable in the world of running.
Yeah. But I think that's where it becomes acceptable, is once you step away from the road running a little bit, not step away, but head into the trails and realize that it's a necessity to where, like, okay, I mean, most people that are, you know, and you can walk a marathon, no one's saying, my dog is going crazy because my girls are home. I think it's more frowned upon in road running than it definitely would be in trail running. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that. And I'd say it's more frowned upon in road running. And even that is like, man, such BS.
Yeah.
Because like a good friend of mine, Nora, she's amazing. She has, she does primarily walking, but she does some walk running, some amount of running, some amount of walking. And she has completed over 100 half marathons. And like, that's super cool for anybody, whether you're walking it or you're running it. I still call her a runner, you know?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a good one.
Yeah. You don't have to run the whole time.
All right. We ready for my next one?
Yeah. Wait, let me tell a story about this. I'm not done with this.
Okay, go.
Okay. So this is the hardest thing about the whole thing about you have to run the whole time. I was talking to somebody and I was telling them that I do ultra running, and they looked at my physique, and then there was an assumption there that my physique cannot complete 100 miles, which is understandable, but still, it was a non-runner. And then, so their first question was like, you run the whole time? And I said, no, I walk, hike plenty of it too. And they're like, oh, okay. As if it's still not a really difficult thing to do if you're not running the whole time. And I wanted to be like, man.
Was there steam coming out of your head? Like,
There was steam coming out of my head. And I'm like, don't downplay it just because I didn't run the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
Don't downplay it. It's hard. It is hard whether you're walking it, you're running it, whether you're crawling after you puked.
Yeah, with this whole running thing of all distances, one thing I've learned is, and I mean, it's in life too, but in running especially, like you just got to block that out and be super proud of what you can do, whether it is walking a 5K or running a whole 100-miler,
mm-hmm.
because the people that don't know just don't know, and they're not doing it. They're not necessarily doing it to be mean. It's just they don't know. But it's
Yeah.
I would have backhand like something, took it back.
It just gives me a good story to tell, at least, because my running friends will understand. But yeah, you're totally right. I mean, they don't know any better. I probably don't understand their hobbies too. I don't understand pickleball. I don't know that I ever will. So
I still have no clue. I know it's big right now, but are there pickles on the court?
If there are, I mean, that actually might get me there, but I doubt it. So, so that's the end of, you know, you don't have to run the whole time to be a runner. And I will say you don't have to use the word jogging if you're not sprinting, right? So all running is running, walking is running, hiking is running. It's all just running.
All right. I have a good one that's going to piggyback off of that.
You
have to run high miles to run ultras.
That's
the myth. I'm going to point that out right off the bat.
Yeah.
You don't need to run high miles. Do you need to move and do you need to train and strengthen your muscles? Yeah, but you don't, depending on what your goals are, you certainly, I think everybody listening already knows this, but you don't have to worry about getting 100-mile weeks or 80-mile weeks even. To finish an ultra, it's 99% mental.
Yeah.
For one. So you have to want to do it and do what you can.
Yep. Absolutely. And I'm going to tell a story about this myth because I think this myth is dangerous. I belong to one Facebook group and there were some people in that Facebook group, some women specifically, who were talking about, hey, we're all doing this same 50K, and it was Blues Cruise 50K.
Yep.
And a lot of people know Blues Cruise 50K. It's in Pennsylvania. It's kind of rolling terrain, not really rocky or rooty. It's got some tiny sections in there of technicality, and the aid stations are really close together. It's great for beginners. So they were talking about doing Blues Cruise 50K as their first 50K. So they were going to create a separate Facebook group for that. And they invited people who had also experience to learn from those people. So I was like, well, I'll join that group. You know, if people have questions about the course, I've never run that particular race, but I know the course really well. And so I joined this group and one of the women shares a link and she says, hey, everybody, I got to share this link. I'm really second guessing whether I should do this 50K. And this guy, and I don't blame the gender because a woman may have made the same mistake and might have done that in their past too. But this guy writes this blog and he has a list of all the things that you should be able to do before you set your sights on a 50K. And one of them, he said, you have to be able to run a 10-minute mile for like a half marathon distance or something like that, sub 10-minute mile. You have to have run a marathon before. Like he listed all of these things. And I was like, man, don't tell people that. One of the things he listed was like a 25 minute 5K or something like that. And I'm like, I've run several 50Ks. I will never be able to run a 25 minute 5K. And the guy who wrote the blog article had only ever run one 50K before. And I just thought it was really bad advice, because you don't have to run a lot of miles and you don't have to run fast miles either to finish, to complete an ultra event or other distances.
Yeah.
And that really bothered me that he did that. And I convinced these women to stay in the race, thankfully, but four of them were going to drop out because of that.
Right. The only thing I would add in there to side on the other side a little bit of the myth is that, you know, let's just use a 50K, for example. You're running your first ultra and it's 50K distance, the pretty in race terms, the lowest mileage.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter what your speed is, but by doing something of higher mileage before the 50K, it can give you a huge confidence boost. It yeah. doesn't mean you have to do 70 miles or 80 miles or 120 miles a week. But all I'm saying is 4 weeks out, per se, before the race, when you properly should be hitting your peak, you know, mm-hmm. mileage, you might want to do something over 20 if you have the time. Just in the, so you, when you go into that 50K, saying, you know what, I know I got 10 more miles in me from that, from what I did a couple weeks ago, you know, that helps more than knowing that, oh crap, I didn't get my 85 miles for 6 weeks straight. You know, that's going to ruin my rate. I think the confidence of just completing it is more mm-hmm. of a boost than making sure you get the mileage. Cause I know for a fact, and you probably do too. I have tracked my mileage, weekly mileage in the past, and having a life like everybody else, it gets very draining when you can't, we're not elite athletes. So we don't have the time to run when we want to. We don't have the time to do double runs, get up in the morning, run, take a nice nap with a big breakfast and run again.
Right.
And that would be, it would make life a lot easier for getting your weekly mileage. But when mm-hmm. things come up and you weren't expecting, at least for me, it started to drain me, because I kept thinking, man, I keep missing my weekly mileage, until I kind of stepped back from it and mm-hmm. said, well, I'm just going to do what I can type of thing and go from there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And side note, I was just talking to one of my athletes today about this because I had put a drop back week into their schedule. And really, when you look at the science of it, and we all know what a drop back week is, right? So if you're in a training schedule, you kind of build up and then you'll take a week and drop back. Now, the science of it is there's no definitive research that says a drop back week actually boosts your performance. However, I do put them into many people's schedules, not everybody, but most of them, because mentally you need a drop back.
Right.
And it's just so helpful for you to regroup and do the laundry and, you know, like actually put it away. Cause it can be a lot, but
yeah, I mean, a training block is a full-time job for many, mm-hmm. especially if you're doing it right. And your goals are, you know, high and you're shooting for the stars. Yep. So when we have a full-time job, we all get vacation days, right? And we love to use them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're saying, it's the same thing for running and training.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I will say, because the thing that you know, your initial myth is that you have to run tons of miles to finish your desired race. I will also say, you know, just fun fact, if you are an overconfident person, if you're overconfident in your abilities, running your first half marathon 2 weeks before your first ultra is not a great idea and might result in you taking 3 months off of running. Don't ask me how I know.
Yeah, I'm sure we both have seen a lot of those types of activities. We are talking about trail runners here and runners.
That was me. That was me. I did that.
We're not the smartest group.
Don't run your first 50K after your 2 weeks after your first half.
But yeah. Now, after a while, after you have the base under you, then it's fine. That's not that bad. But
no, but that was my very first half marathon ever.
Too soon. Yeah.
Anywho, next up. Okay. If you run trails, because mm-hmm. I want to get away from talking about ultra distance. There's also sub ultra trail runners out there.
If you run, let's not get stuck on trails, yeah. Grace.
For bike. Now, I'm going to talk about trail. Okay, and so here's the myth. If you run trails, you're going to break an ankle. You're going to break your ankle. You're going to fall and break an ankle. How many trail runners do you know with broken ankles?
I know a lot with swollen ankles, especially
currently. Accurate. Yeah. Now, might you trip and fall? Yes. Might you do a little funky twist? Yes. Are you going to break your ankle? I know a lot of trail runners. I know none of them who've broken ankles. I know broken wrists from falling and bracing your fall.
That's because that's a good point. You can break your wrist because your wrist hasn't been bending and twisting as you train and hitting the ground like your ankle does.
Yes.
Your ankle's like this giant strong rubber band out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might stress it out every once in a while, but suck it up, buttercup.
That's right. You can strengthen your ankles, and they're a lot stronger than I think people realize for most folks. Are you going to, if you're a road runner and you switch over to trail, are you probably going to fall more on the trail than you would on the road? Probably yes. And are you going to be fine? Probably yes. Like, there have been some tough falls out there, but a lot of times you just fall and then you get up. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, and this falls right into the biggest myth out there is that, oh, you're going to ruin your knees. Grace,
you're going to ruin your knees. You are. You're going to ruin your knees.
And the ankles join that myth with, you know, we're not going to ruin them. We're actually strengthening them, the ligaments and the tendons. So shut your face, you knee people.
Shut your face, you knee people.
Yeah.
That is the quote of the day.
You should get that on a t-shirt ASAP.
Get it on a t-shirt. Shut your face, you knee people. And this is accurate. So there is research that is good research that shows that running is good for your knees. It's good for your knees.
Yeah.
Leads to better knee health. Now, do runners tend to have more things like runner's knee? Yes, but are they more likely to deal with it and ward off other worse things like heart disease? Also, yes. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Exactly. And even, what's the sore old people? What's it called?
Carpal tunnel?
No, not just your hands.
Arthritis.
Yeah. God, that was a tough one for me. Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people think that your running will lead to early arthritis because your joints are going to be sore and tired. And it actually is, studies have been out there that have proven that it wards off arthritis.
Yes. Movement is very, very good for people who already have arthritis or at greater risk for arthritis, which arthritis can be caused by several things like autoimmune disease or genetics more than running. It is genetics. I just, last time, because a lot of times if you have an injury, the doc can tell you if you have arthritis in your knees. Last time I had an x-ray just to check some stuff out, they said no arthritis for you. And I was really excited to hear that. No arthritis in my knees. I run all the time. I've been running for years. And my mom has, I will say this, my mom has rheumatoid arthritis. She was diagnosed in her 30s because she does have an autoimmune disease. And it's primarily in her hands are the worst. And she doesn't have movement of all of her fingers. But one of the primary reasons why she can still move her hands is because she knits. And her doctors have told her over the years, over and over, that that's the best thing that she could be doing for her arthritis. So movement is really good for you, and it can push back all of the stuff that's gonna get you later on because of genetics. Running and movement is so good for you.
Yeah, running's a pretty good drug, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not gonna hurt your knees. I mean, it will if you fall on your knee, but
whose turn is it?
It's my turn. And this one's a little more specific to female runners, and especially female runners who are alone. If you run and you're female, you're going to get kidnapped. You are going to get kidnapped. That's definitely going to happen. And I haven't been kidnapped yet. There are really unfortunate situations that happen. Are they few and far between? Yes. Does that mean that we shouldn't be careful about them or be aware of them? Absolutely not. But I can't tell you how many times the conversations that I have with non-runners about running, one of the first things they say is, I can't do that. I have bad knees. That's number one. And then number two is, don't you worry that you're gonna, that somebody's gonna stick you in their, I'm always cautious, but not any more or less cautious than I would be if I was walking down a street with a creepy van sitting there. So, I think that's one that it's not a myth, but, I don't know. I think people worry about it more than, here's the thing is that other things like dehydration, heat exhaustion, cold exposure, heat exposure, saggy boobs, not a thing, but all, you know, heat exhaustion, cold exhaustion, dehydration are far more prevalent and we don't talk about them nearly enough. I think we have a lot more risk to those things and we should be talking about them all the time. And we don't, we talk about creepy van.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of them.
That's the stuff that's the scariest, I guess.
It is. It is scary, but so is, kidney failure. That is super scary. And we should be worried about things like kidney failure and we're not.
Bring it out of the depth, the hole that you're in. It's dark down here. Can we talk about
fun? You want to talk about saggy boobs? Does that make you feel better?
I can talk about them all day, but no.
What do you got? What's next on your list of running myths?
If you get a cramp, eat a banana. No.
That's a good one.
Cramp is not from... because you didn't eat a banana that morning. It could be electrolyte imbalance a little bit here and there, but most of the time it's from improper breathing technique. Yeah. Fact.
Accurate.
So you can eat your banana, but whatever. Yeah, that's an old
one. There's another one that is primarily in the OCR community, and OCR stands for obstacle course racing. Primarily the OCR community to, if you're cramping, eat mustard.
Yeah.
So they carry around mustard packets and it, yep. That one, I don't buy it. I don't buy it that's.
I mean, from what I understand, it can be caused by a little bit here and there, like what you ate or what you didn't eat. But the majority of the time that somebody gets generic cramps.
Yeah.
Because for one, they just started out and they went out too hot and they didn't, not get enough oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Dehydration. That's one of them. And it's dehydration. It's like daily dehydration. Like the day before they also didn't hydrate, that can cause leg cramps. I did do a race. I had this, I had cramping. I had that stomach cramp that you get, that comes from your, what's that thingy called that helps you breathe?
Lungs?
No, right below them. But anyway, Yeah, your diaphragm. It comes, a cramping of the diaphragm. And I figured out what I was doing. I was running in a particularly, it was very hot. It was like July and it was very buggy. And I wasn't, I was shallow, very, very shallow breaths because I was trying to not suck in a bunch of gnats. So I was like breathing with my mouth partially closed. And so one of the tricks that I will have when I do get that cramped diaphragm is I'll just slow down for a second and take some really deep breaths. And that can help get rid of it. So yes, a lot of times the diaphragm cramp has to do with shallow breathing. Yeah.
Yeah. And the internet said, put your hands over your arms, over your head, hands over your head and take breaths to get rid of the cramps.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it's your turn. What do you got? Anything?
You go with your next one.
Okay. This is another popular one from long ago that was kind of ingrained in our systems is that before you go out for a run, you better stretch.
Right.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
You unnecessary. Can, I mean, it's not really going to do you any good. It's you're wasting your time. The dynamic warm-up movement and jogging and skipping and that kind of thing is much better to warm everything up than touching your toe. I know how much you love to reach over and touch your toes.
I do.
But it doesn't really help you for warming up for running. And now post-stretching, that's much more recommended.
Yep.
So yeah,
absolutely.
Save your time for the post stuff, and instead of stretching, get out there and do some, look up some good dynamic warm-up drills.
Yeah. Yeah. And on top of that, flexibility in and of itself does not necessarily prevent injury. So all flexibility does is increase your range of motion. It doesn't inherently prevent an injury. It doesn't mean that your tendons are going to be stronger. Your tendons are what they are. They're made of the tissue that they're made of. You can, you can have a larger range of motion so that when you trip and fall, you have a little bit more space to have movement. But flexibility, I know some people who want to increase their flexibility so that they don't get hurt. You're still going to trip and fall. And it doesn't prevent injury in a very direct way. It just increases your range of movement. And in fact, having very loose hamstrings, at least for short distance running, track running, having tight hamstrings can help because it's like a rubber band. And it snaps when you run, when you're sprinting. And if you have too loose of hamstrings, you don't have as much of that snap. So it doesn't help you in every situation.
Yeah. All right. I got one more on my list. You might have a couple, but I'm going to throw this one out there real quick because I love this one.
Yeah.
It's a pretty simple one. Running is boring.
Oh, I like that one.
Want to run. Running is boring.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say to answer that, statement, I don't think you've gone out with many trail runners and spent any time with trail runners for one.
Yeah.
And I don't know. What do you have to add to that? Why is running not boring to you?
Yeah, and here's how it's usually presented when I hear that is I hear cardio. I hate cardio is boring. And I'm like, I think it comes from a space of the reason to do it is
calorie burn.
Calorie burn. Yeah. Like for aesthetics or for weight loss or a combination of the two or something like that. And that's a lot of people who run frequently, whether it's road or trail, usually that's not the reason why. I know that I am probably 30 pounds heavier with as much as I run, but I love it. And so, it's not for aesthetics. It's not for weight loss. It's because I enjoy it. And so I love it. And I think a lot of people who run pretty frequently, they do enjoy it. One of the best pieces of advice I got when I was training for, my first half marathon was you have to enjoy the training. And that's really one of the things that pushed me over more so toward trail is you want to enjoy the training. If you don't enjoy the training, you're only running for one day and that's the race and that's not very sustainable. But when I get to go play in the woods all the time, man, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right. Before we go any farther, Grace, we got to stick to the format of our show, which is always trying to bring in the guests and their statements and their questions.
Okay.
Who is Sports and Fun? Do we know?
I don't know.
Well, Sports and Fun, who are you and what's your name? But either way, they have a lot of quite a few comments. Have you ever run into a wild animal on the trail? I've ran into a grace before. I think that's close enough.
Yeah. I think that is a good one. That's a good one though, because a myth is, you're going to get mauled by a bear.
Yeah.
Right.
I've run in, let's see, the scariest thing, bears, I'm not scared of bears whatsoever, but as far as popular belief, that's probably the scariest thing I've run into. porcupines. I run into a possum with six little babies hanging onto its back. That was pretty cool. Lions yet.
And on the East Coast, primarily we have black bear. And well, I think that's the only bear we have over here on the East Coast is black bear. And black bears just want your peanut butter and jelly. They don't really want to eat your face off. Grizzlies want to eat your face off, but black bears don't. And much scarier, again, this is something that I think we don't talk about enough, is ticks. So ticks are far more dangerous, I think, out on the East Coast than black bears.
Yeah, black bear, nothing out there wants to eat your face off. I just want to clarify that. They only want to eat your face off when you scare them, spook them, or get in a bad spot between them and their young, but they're not out there. Yeah, but anyway, how many miles do you run a week? I'm guessing they're speaking to us. Mine varies from 10 to 70.
Everywhere in between.
But again, I don't even really follow it anymore. I try if I feel like I can get time, and depending on what's ahead of me, I'd like to get to certain points, but it doesn't crush me when I don't get there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably the same for me. I think I probably average 30 a week.
Nice.
That's about what I average. All right. Next one is if your feet get wet, you're going to get blisters. And I think the thing that contributes to blisters is really friction, not necessarily water. So I know there have been races, and before I started trail running, I was one of these hikers. When I would go hiking, if there was a creek crossing, I would take off my shoes, I would take off my socks, I would cross the creek and then put them all back on. That is what I did. That's no longer what I do, because I've learned that if you have some good socks and good fitting shoes, you should not have, you shouldn't really have that friction, and you are probably not going to get blisters just because your feet are wet. Now, in super long events, can it be helpful to try to keep your feet dry? Absolutely, but more because of trench foot than anything else. So simply the fact that they're going to be wet for 20 minutes or even 4 hours does not cause blisters. It's friction that causes blisters. Get some good socks.
Yeah, good socks and good shoes. Water does change the dynamic of a shoe a little bit, but like you said, if it fits you properly to begin with, and it's a running shoe that drains just a little bit, and shouldn't cause you much pain.
Yep.
Many blisters.
Absolutely. Okay, those are my running myths. That's what I got.
I got one more fact.
Okay.
Did you know that 4 out of 5 runners who wear idiot runner gear when running are cooler than the other runners?
I did know that, which is why I have plenty of idiot runner gear.
Idiot runner gear and running mullet gear.
Are we working on running mullet gear? Yes, we are. And it's super awesome, and it's not ready yet, but it will be.
Soon.
Pretty excited.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited. Yeah. So what's going on this weekend? What do you got?
Oh, Lauren, what do I have this weekend? You caught me off guard there.
Let's just take a moment of silence while Eric thinks about
2
days from now.
I am taking all my boxes that are all over my living room and basement full of idiot runner gear. I'm packing them up into my vehicle. I'm driving down to Mill Hall, and I'm going to set up at the start and finish of Eagleton Trail Challenge.
Ooh.
And I'm going to have tables. And if people want, you remember what I just said about 4 out of 5 runners, like it's kind of important. We don't care about that fifth runner. I don't even know who they are. No. The data doesn't support them. So it's important that I get this gear, the sweatpants that I have on currently and stuff like that, to the other four runners that are at Eagleton, if that makes sense.
Yeah, It does make sense. And what a cool race. Eagleton always has really good swag. I have yet to do that race, but I hear really good stuff about it. So that should be a fun day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it. I don't really get much time to do this. Usually if I'm going to a race, it's to run it or race it or even do an aid station for that matter. So this one is specifically to go down there and hopefully spread the idiot runner cheer.
And you're going to have to talk to people. Are you ready for that?
Oh, really? I take Becky and Lauren for that. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay. So you're not going to have to talk to people. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'll do my best.
Yeah. You practice your smiling. Ready? There you go. That's, oh boy. Stop it. You're going to scare away people.
So that's what I'm doing Saturday, I believe.
Okay.
I think it's a pretty cold weekend still up here. What about you? What's on the docket for you?
I really haven't decided for this weekend. There's so many fun options. Buckridge Burn is on Sunday. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch the results for that. I am going over to my friend Sherry's house because she's having a little housewarming and trail run. So that's going to be fun. I haven't really decided other than that. I've been prepping for Candyman 100 and prepping to head out on the Horseshoe Trail soon. So I'm kind of trying to balance that with other things that I want to do because I want to go to Buckridge Burn to hang out with people, but I also know that I have a lot of big stuff that I should be getting ready for. So I haven't decided.
Gotcha. Do we know how to talk about the Georgia Death Race at all?
Oh yeah, Georgia Death Race was this past weekend. And so I'm wearing my GDR gear to support all of those who made it and didn't make it. It is a tough, tough race. Joey put forth a valiant effort and good job for her. She had to deal with some injury and it didn't finish this time around, but she did her best. And there were some other folks who were there. Don Nisley, he was there. He had a good race. And so it was cool to watch everybody tackle that one.
Nice. Did Don finished?
He did. Yeah. He had a good race.
Good.
Yeah. So it was good to watch the results from that. And I saw a couple of people posting their photos from last year too. And it is a race that I completed and I will probably never do again. And I am okay with that.
Nothing wrong with that. You played the beat. Go back and
do it. Yep. Exactly. So fun race weekend coming up. And I think from here on out, I mean, we've got just nothing but awesome things happening. So the weekend after is Boston Marathon weekend and I'm going to support Jill. I'm super excited for that. The weekend after that is Heiner and we are going to be live broadcasting from the start finish.
And Heiner's going to be nutsos. We might be broadcasting the night before Friday night if you're going up, because I think I'll be there. Yeah. We're going to be broadcasting in the morning when they're all getting there. Coffee and poos out of the way. Maybe we'll do it from a couple porta potties. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that, but
it's going to be nuts. We're going to have, we're hopefully going to figure out having some people out on the course as guests into the show. So, I mean, April is just going to be a fun, fun time to tune in. And I'll be at On the Dam Trail Race sweeping again the weekend after that. The weekend after that is Canyon Man. I mean, April and May are just packed full of fun, cool races. And we're going to be talking about all of it.
Yes, we are. Let's start next week.
Yeah.
I can talk about Eagleton.
Yeah. Yeah, Eagleton's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up.
Yep.
Thank you all for joining us, and we will see you for episode 58. Thank you, it's not a 7. I'll have a good week, I promise. And we need to figure out how to get us on the West Coast. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, we're all over the place. We're all over. We don't even know it.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Grace, you have a great week. I will see you next week.
All right. See you next week. Bye.